meeting is now being recorded.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jordan Carter from .NZ, one of the members of the Staff Accountability Group, one of the co-rapporteurs, along with Avery Doria. Welcome to this call on the 5th of January, 2017 at 0500 UTC, 1800 in New Zealand, where I am. Welcome along, and thank you for coming, those of you who are here. We've got a pretty quick agenda today with two substantive items. The agenda that we've got is just an intro SOI check. Talking about the staff response to the questions that we sent through in October or November, and then the first draft of the document A of our two outputs, which Klaus led the drafting of and which I chipped into. And then we'll have a schedule check, and then we'll have any other business. If there are any other agenda items that people would like to fit in, could you let us know now, or if there are minor ones, we can fit them in AOB. And I'll just give a little pause for any hands up on that. And while I am, we'll note there are a few people attending: Avery, Cheryl, Jordan, Klaus, Pam, and a couple of staff as well. Natalie is here, Yvette, and Karen is on the line as well. If you haven't updated your statement of interest recently, you need to do that. Does anyone have any SOI updates to let the call know about at this point? Well, again, there's a quiet hiss down the line. And so I think we might start with the staff response to our subgroup questions. How should we go about doing this discussion? We obviously got a set of answers from the staff to the questions that we asked. They're available on the ICANN wiki, and the link to those responses was in the agenda for this meeting. Personally, my take on them was that they were quite helpful, and I liked the fact that I can ask back a few questions towards the end of the document, and I think we should probably elaborate some answers to those. But I'll just make those as a couple of introductory comments. Yes, they're in the screen as well in the Adobe room, and you can scroll through them. Does anyone have any thoughts about the responses that we've got from ICANN, or thoughts about responses to the questions that follow? Klaus, your hand is up, so please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Yes, John, I worked on the... Sorry. Sorry about that. I was working on the other document, on the staff accountability draft, which we discuss a little bit later. And one of that draft is to work all the different documents as resources into this document. And I took the staff response also as part of the that drafting process. So basically, the answers of the staff are part of the working draft document 1.2. And I think the answers to the staff questions, which I also found extremely helpful, will be basically as a result of our discussion of the working draft 1.2. But I also would like to note that I'm very, very happy that we received that staff response, because I think in some point it was really helpful to see where we are and how things actually seem. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Klaus, for those thoughts. And yeah, I did notice a few comments that had fed through from the staff document into that draft that you had prepared. So that was really helpful. Are there any other thoughts about that, Avery? Do you have any thoughts about the staff reply?
This is Avery speaking. I actually, since I have responsibility for starting to put together something for document B, though hopefully there are some co-drafters, and there's a lot of the raw material in there that that document needs. I started thinking about the five questions. Was it five? Actually, I might not remember the number correctly. I had something else that had five questions in it for that. And they strike me as very good questions. I think some of them do touch on the work we're doing. I don't even have draft answers for them in my mind yet, but I do think it's something that we should add to our work list, and whether we add it as an appendix to either document A or B, or however we handle it, I think we could add an answer to those questions as part of our output, and not just leave them dangling. But I'm no way ready to start talking about what I think the answers are yet. Some of them are indeed things that could lead to recommendations as we get a little further on with the work. So that's all I wanted to mention. And I was, you know, very appreciative of the answer, and it was very contentful. So that was very much a good thing, and appreciated it. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Avery. Cheryl or Pam, did you have any views on what was presented back by the staff in response to our question? You don't have to have anything, but if you do, this is a chance to share it.
I don't have anything in particular to add, Cheryl.
Okay, done. I agree with Avery that I think we should probably provide some responses to these in the sort of ongoing dialogue effort that we're engaged in here. It seems to make some sense to me to do so. They were asked in good faith, and they seem pretty reasonable as questions. Avery, your hand is up again.
Yeah, one thing that occurred to me when I was reading is it did refer a couple times to documents that are available to the staff at any time in terms of describing some of the codes and such. I'm looking for the exact reference at the moment in terms of those. And I was and it was said that those things were on the ICANN.org website. I'm not sure if that's different than the ICANN website. I get confused by the reference to ICANN.org sometimes and ICANN at other times, and I'm not quite sure what I'm looking at. But I was wondering if those documents that are referred to in comment are available to the community to read, or whether they're staff only. And it wasn't something that I was clear on, and I haven't gone around, you know, hunting for those documents yet to see. You know, it says all the employment policies remain available electronically to the employees on a 24/7 basis. I'm assuming that those aren't available to the community, probably because I'm semi-pessimistic about it, but was wondering whether that was indeed the correct assumption, and indeed whether that was a considered decision that those things should be, you know, private to the employees and not visible to the community. So I guess I have that pending question that's not quite answered in my first reading of this. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. I think that's a good question. Yvette, is Karen, are you on the line and able maybe to respond to that sort of almost question from Avery? Are those docs available either on the site or able to be made available to us? I see that Karen is just in listen mode. So maybe Karen, if you were able to type a response to that question. In the meantime, we'll take Pam's comment. Ms. Pam, your hand is up, so please go ahead. And just to be clear, in case you are wondering and or talking, we can't hear you at the moment. Karen is going to note the question in respect to whether those docs are public or private and find out the answer. So that's good. Thank you, Karen. Apparently we have some audio issues. Though with Adobe, you never know whether they're audio issues with the system or whether they're related to people's browsers or anything else. Yeah, I also found them a solid contribution to the work that we did in Document A. Can we take it as a consensus that we will aim to reply to these questions from ICANN in return and to incorporate the work, the responses that we've got into the work in Document A and B, and maybe with that move on to the next agenda item? Would people be happy with that? Cheryl's got a tick on in respect to that.
This is Avery. Yeah, I'm happy with that, but I do think we do need to come back at some point. While we're picking out the answers and putting them in A and B, we should just make a note that we do want to come back to these at some point and make sure there's nothing we missed while we were sort of pulling the things out. But yeah, I think for now that's a good idea.
I think we should consciously answer them, and in doing so, they may lead to further questions in turn in respect of the dialogue that we might want to ask as well. So let's put them on the agenda for a call.
Yeah,
go ahead, Avery.
Yeah, Jordan. Yeah, no, I definitely agree on the questions they asked us. I meant on the answers they gave us, as opposed to walking through them all in depth now. We're going to use them as the raw material for A and B, but I just want to make sure that we come back to the answers they gave us at some point just to make sure that we've digested it all. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. It sounds like we're still looking to see whether Pam can join on audio or not. Pam, Yvette is trying to get your number in the chat to make a dialogue to you if required. And you're the one person whose audio seems to be a little bit of an issue at the moment. So we'll come back to you if we can't hear you now, which it seems like we can't. So the third item on the agenda today is the working draft of Document A. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me now? It's Pam. Sorry about that.
Yes, we can hear you. Hi,
sorry about that. Am I interrupting or does someone to finish first?
No, I was just about to move on to the next agenda item, but here you are. So let's take your comments on this,
okay,
on these questions.
Great, thank you. I guess I was just trying to jump into where we were talking about the ICANN response to our questions. And I was saying, or trying to say, my impression was, On the surface, everything seemed to be great, right? ICANN has everything, and there's kind of clear delegation of authority to the CEO, to staff, etc. But what I was trying to say is, I think the devil is in the detail. It's kind of like form versus substance, as in any conversation in this kind of topic. We can see that there's all these documents in place, but who is actually looking into the detail and saying, are these, for example, are these delegation of authority really is enforced, or conflict of interest is really enforced? As we, for example, there was this employee hotline, I believe, and there was a survey or a firm looking into the practice, and apparently there's only three users of the last 5 or 6 years using the hotline. So I don't know whether that was good or bad. Maybe there was no one had any issue. But I guess my concern is on this, as I try to summarize, I tend to have a lot of process and documents in place, but the thing is, who is really looking into the detail and the practice of those process and you know, measures in place to make sure it's actually someone is actually enforcing it? And then what is the consequences for example, not following the practice or the guidelines or the principles, documents that are in place? That's something not clear to me. For example, there is this document recently published soon after Hyderabad, I believe, this delegation of authority from the board to the CEO. That was only a recent document. So my question is, then what happened if, for example, the CEO actually acted on something exceeding the power of authority? Then what happened? So I guess that's my question. And another thing about KPI, I can't say they got all these KPI for employees, right? But as community, we really don't know what those KPIs were at the beginning of each year and how they were mapped and how staff were remunerated. So there's just a lot of detailed questions that's not there, and KPI, you can set a lot of KPIs that are not meaningful. So I'm just not sure. Hello?
Still hear you.
Okay. Whether things are as good as I can like us to believe. That's all I wanted to say. And maybe when we talk about the document A, I also have some comment about some of the recommendations now drafted. Thank you.
Okay, thank
it's George
you.
Again.
I think George. Oh, okay, you're back. Okay, great.
I managed to disconnect myself by accident. I apologize. I missed the last part of your comments, Pam. But with a summary of what you were saying, be that it's a kind of like, how do we know that the framework is competitive enough, A, and B, being enforced? Is that a very short summary?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a good question.
And there was the extra.
It sounded like Avery and Pam were speaking at the same time for a moment.
I wasn't speaking.
I don't think we were speaking. Yeah, I was speaking out of turn, so I stopped and I raised my hand. This is Avery speaking. I think the other part that was in the short synopsis is also that, and this is part of the reason why I was asking about some of the other documents that are referred to, is the devil in the details part in terms of what exactly are, you know, some of the details within these codes in addition to the compliance and the enforcement issue. So it's basically that it gives us a high-level view that, yes, all the documents exist, but what's in them and what are those policies? Thanks.
And, Avery, just to build a little bit upon that, is it fair to say that your document B is going to be looking into that in some more detail and we'll need to know the answer to that question as well as to Pam's question?
Yeah. That does seem to be the case.
Okay.
And that's kind of why I'm asking about it, I think.
Yeah. So I think that Karen is listening on this call and we'll have a bit of a steer here from what we're going to need. I think, Karen, if you were taking a summary out of this, it would be that the group is grateful for the responses, which were helpful. There are some further points needed in terms of what the group would like to know in terms of some more detail about the documents and processes that are set up and how they're enforced and stuff. And I think it would be good for you if you could to go back to the wider organization and to find out what the best way to have that conversation is, whether it's some more stuff in writing or whether it is a discussion on a call like this. Something like that probably makes sense. And Pam, I think your hand is up again.
Yes, if I may, Jordan, I just want to add to that about compliance and enforcement of those policies or procedures or measures in place. I feel like everything seems to be channeled to the General Counsel's office. As you people on this call will be aware, there was this recent effort of appointing a complaints officer, and that person was to apply to report to the General Counsel's office again. I personally feel there's too much concentration of power, because I just feel there should be kind of a decentralized, and that will mitigate some of the risks associated with concentration of power. And we all know the conflict of the fiduciary duty of being ICANN's legal officer or chief legal officer. The sole obligation of that position is to protect ICANN's interests, ICANN, the organization, the corporation only. So I'm just not sure. I thought there was some debate or discussion in Hyderabad about it, whether this compliance officer should be under the General Counsel's office, but that seemed to have been dropped. So my point was ICANN seemed to channel everything, the compliance, the problems, the whistleblower procedure was all going to channel through the General Counsel's office, and I personally feel there should be an ethics office or something like that. So this is kind of minimize the risk of too much concentration. Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. Can I make a suggestion to you, which is to work that thought up a little bit more and to pop an email on the group list about it? Because it's a comment that I've heard before, and, you know, as a CEO myself, I'm in a membership organization. I'm acutely conscious of the risks of centralization and the complexity of doing anything different. So if you were to share some thoughts about what might work differently on the list, just so people can start teasing it out and talking about it, I think that would be really helpful.
I can do that, Jordan. In fact, I would actually advocate for a compliance office versus the General Counsel's office. A lot of big corporations now have realized the benefit of having a corporate compliance office. I'm not talking about the ICANN contractual compliance that is tasked to enforce registrar contracts. I'm talking about something to make sure ICANN is complying with applicable laws and whatever policy and procedure governing ICANN. Mm. Such function, internal ICANN corporation compliance function, not the external contract parties compliance function. And it's a trend that more and more businesses adopting to have a separate compliance function independent of the General Counsel's legal function.
Mm. And I think that goes to part of the core of what, you know, Yolan might be trying to do here or not, and his understanding or perspective on the linkages between compliance and ethics and so on compared to maybe yours. So I think just writing it down so we can talk about the text among a broader group and just make sure we're on the same page before we take the discussion further would be quite helpful.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks. Is there anything else about the questions, or shall we nip on a little bit to the document A? I think we'll do that. I think we're about to do that, and then Pam got her audio. So if we could pop the so-called document A on the screen, staff, that would be helpful. And I started to talk to you about where this came from. The structure of the document came from a brainstorm that Avery and I had at the IGF, and really actually just followed what was instructed to us as our plan of work in the Workstream 1 report from the group. And then Klaus took the initiative in terms of doing a lot of background research and writing a first draft. I tipped in a whole bunch of additional material that was about, mainly the stuff about trying to explain what the norm would be, like what we would hope a good relationship looks like among the various parties, and then Aubrey's added a bunch of questions. And according to the work timetable that we've got a chance to discuss this paper on this call, and then I think we need to sort of finalize it ready for a plenary discussion on our next call. So I'm open to suggestions about how it is that we go about doing that. To me, the most obvious way to do this is to get some high-level feedback or comments now. Basically, it would be good to know if we're on the right track or the wrong track, whether the document is making sense to you or not. And then to get, if there are any specific points that people would like to raise, I think we've got time to do that as well. But the most helpful way to raise them is by track changes or by comments in the Google Doc version of this document. I think it's a nice start. It's built on a relatively straightforward governance-management split, which I think some of the comments already indicate may not find favor with everyone. And I think we've got a bit of work to do to get this into a consensus document. But I'd invite any sort of broad comments on it at this point. Are there any to be heard? Ken, go ahead.
Thanks. Jordan, I feel the document A seemed to be longer than what was expected. And it appears to me that this document is trying to set out sort of more high-level aspirational observational goals rather than the detailed, plan or recommendation in document B. Is my understanding correct? This one is more high-level, document A, and B will be the detailed one.
Pam, from my memory, they dealt with different topics. Document A was meant to look at the relationships between the staff, the board, and the community. And document B was meant to look at the specific HR processes. So that's my understanding of the difference between the two of them.
Okay, so if that's the case, sorry to jump back in, then whatever it is, you know, the relationship between the staff, the board, the community, is what it is. I'm not sure what we really can say. I mean, there are some recommendations there, and I guess one of the main thing I pick up from that was this kind of perceived conflict of interest. So I think there was some comment about not understanding what the recommendations say, but if I understand that recommendation, basically saying there might be some perceived or potential or actual conflict of interest, so therefore there should be some sort of structural or operational separation within ICANN, the organization. And that's something a lot of community members were talking about. For example, the compliance function should not be under GDD as it currently is. But now from today onwards, presumably the new senior vice president, Jamie Hedlund, will be reporting to the CEO. So things like that would then... We need to, for me, to kind of make it more detailed and concrete. Otherwise, that recommendation, as currently drafted in this document, seems to be pretty vague to me.
Okay, I think that's useful feedback. I personally haven't looked as closely at the recommendations as in the narrative description of the relationships, and I think that one of the challenges that we face is that there are radically different expectations around the community about what the roles of the board and staff are. And some of those radically different expectations are already coming through in some of the comments in the Google Doc. So even if the document seems, we shouldn't have a document that seems vague in the end. We need to tighten it up if that's how it's feeling to you. And it is a bit longer. We had estimated about 8 pages and it's only about 14 plus the reference material. But just documenting what those expectations are is something that hasn't been done before. If it had been done before, we'd be able to find another document that did that. So I think that's helpful feedback, and we just need to take it on board as we evolve this through to the next draft. And Klaus wrote a lot of it, and his hand is up. So, Pam, with your agreement, I'll pass the floor over to Klaus to speak a bit more about it.
Sure.
Klaus, go ahead.
Thank you. Pam, I think you are absolutely right with your observations, but let me try to explain some of the parts. The draft document, as it is at the moment, has a lot of reference to existing documents. So at the end, the document which we actually will give out will only be or should only be basically the comment part and the recommendation part, and everything else, the references to existing documents, basically go into a huge annex. So we're still inside the target of approximately 8 pages. What I would say is we have a chance, and you're right, we need to be more specific. But on the other hand, I think, as Jordan just mentioned, there are fundamental differences in understanding of staff accountability and what the situation is and who's doing what. So I think where we have a chance is to be more philosophical in the comment part and to be very precise and clinical with our recommendations. What I find personally, reading and working and on these documents and looking at source documents, for me there is a basic gap between what is stated and what is said. Staff is a role and staff's work is and what actually happening on the ground in the day-to-day work. And that is not anything criticizing staff. It just reflects reality. Because one of the aspects that struck me when I was working on that is what is actually staff given from the community to work with, and we also, if we are looking at the work of the staff and the quality of the work of the staff, we also have to look at the quality and the work of the community, what it gives staff to execute. But this is already going into those details. And yes, finally, what I was hoping was that we really could work on that document with comments and go more and more into the details and get as many and as varied opinions in there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Klaus. Okay, and that's another perspective to take on board. Klaus did a lot of the writing. I think we can probably tighten the document up for sure, but I'd kind of, aside from the detail side and the noted risk of staff conflict of interest, anyone on the call, was there anything that you read in this document and felt particularly uncomfortable about or think was going in the wrong direction? That would be really useful to know, because if there's, in this small call, if there are any alarm bells going off, it would be really helpful to share them now, so that by the time we come to a next draft and then send it to the plenary, we've had some pre-warning of that. Cheryl or Avery, are there any things that you've seen in this that you go, nope, this is a problem? And I know, Avery, that you've made some comments in the document itself.
Yeah, this is speaking. Oh, Pam's got her hand up. I didn't put my hand up. I'll put my hand up and
you go ahead, Avery. You go ahead, Avery.
You go ahead, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess in some of the comments, I was indicating some concern, but perhaps it was more a semantic concern because I got mixed. Although, you know, in some of the ways, for example, the whole way, for example, the isolation of the board is described. Now, if that's, you know, indeed the case of what is the case, and that they shouldn't be involved in things. So there are various points where I was concerned by some of the, you know, and I'm not quite sure that I was always clear between what was descriptive, what was normative, and what was descriptive in this document, and that was perhaps my reading. You know, the that the community having no role in governance was something that concerned me when I read it. Some of the policy implementation discussion there, I don't think took enough account of, you know, some of the work that's been done on policy and implementation. So there were those kinds of things. I thought that at times, it wasn't in the structure of the document, but more in the sort of giving the committee less of a role sometimes than I thought it had. And also, I guess, the isolation of the three, you know, bubbles from each other, perhaps descriptively, that is correct. But are we saying that we accept that in a normative sense? And that would concern me. So those are the kinds of issues I had, and those relate kind of to the comments I've put in there, that I see Klaus has started to answer some of, but I haven't had time to read them. So that's the kind of concern that I had. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Aubrey. I think that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, the document is out. There's a draft. There's a few comments flying around. So I think we've all got a bit of an action point to read the documents, to read the comments and questions, to respond to them, and to just all, I think the point I'd like to make is that this is a document as a starter for 10. It's not a, I don't know if Klaus agrees with this, but certainly from my point of view, it's a draft that is the property of the group and can be shaped and changed a lot. It isn't a fait accompli in any sense of the word. In terms of the role of the community, yeah, I think we need to describe how that works in a way that works with a governance framework and includes the community in the way that's most effective. And I don't know how we get the language that right. If you're raising the kind of concerns that you were having, I think we've got the language wrong. So there's some more work to be done. Pam, your hand is up, so why don't we flip back to you?
Thank you. I was going to say this is really a very difficult topic so far from my participation, how to hold staff accountable in this ICANN environment. Because it's not easy being ICANN staff. I have been there, and I have experienced the competing interests from different constituency or stakeholder groups. So staff, certain staff, you're damned if you do it, and you're damned if you don't do it, right? So I think we've got to acknowledge that competing interests within the ICANN community or perspectives, right? And staff is sometimes jammed in the middle, and how they kind of balance different interests, different pressures from different stakeholder groups, it is not easy. But I want to say this. I think there should be, as a community, we should have the expectation. I think there was some language that Klaus had drafted about they have to have, their work and personal life to be balanced to be healthy and productive. But I can say from experience that ICANN staff is well, it seems to be reasonably remunerated. And in terms of, whether there's a balance between work and life, that's probably a personal choice or difference between staff. But from community perspective, I think we can expect, the community can expect that the hiring and promotion of staff should be open, should be in an open and competitive environment. And that's very important to me, rather, because I think we should expect whoever works.
Pam, could I just interrupt there? To me, that topic is totally, I totally agree with you, but I don't think it's part of this, I don't think it's part of this document. I think that the sort of hiring process and making sure that it's open and so on is more a part of the document B that Avery is leading the drafting of.
Okay, that's fine. But just want to make sure we capture that and appreciate they are in a very difficult position, the staff, how we as a community to hold them accountable. Sometimes this parameter has been said that employment issue we don't touch, the community doesn't really have a say. It's really the management job to manage staff. So it's not an easy juggling act in terms of how to really come up with a document that is, that makes sense.
I think this one is the one where we try and set the norms about how that relationship could work. And in terms of the specific ways that's implemented in policy and process, I think that would be in the B document.
Okay.
That's my take on it anyway. So we need to get that expectation set out right in this one. What else in terms of comments here? Cheryl, what did you think?
Oh, I've made some comments in the chat, so, you know, I would suggest you look at those.
Okie doke.
And I have to drop the line and pick up an incessant call, I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't have any other comments to make about this doc. I think we've noted the fact there are some questions and comments in the chat, and we need to maybe shorten the documents a little bit. There are questions and comments that have been added as comments in the Google Doc. I'm certainly happy to commit some time to trying some editing on this. I'm sure that class will be as well. And in terms of dialogue, in terms of the comments and questions that have been raised as comments in the Google Doc. And I think we all need to probably commit to doing that and to ask on the list for people to do that by the middle of next week. And then by the end of next week, we can do a bit of an editing job on it so that we've got it ready for our next call. And because at the next call, we're actually looking at the first draft of Document B, the process doc that Avery has taken the lead in preparing, and we're actually doing the second reading of this, ready for its first hearing with the CCWG as a whole. So we can't sit on this for weeks and weeks at a time. We do need to get our thoughts in order. I'm happy to lead some editing and fining down of this if that's helpful to people. Are there any other steps in terms of what needs to be done here that people would like to suggest or raise?
Hi.
Avery, you're
this is Avery. One of the things I just want to point out to people is that in the Google Doc, people, and I know Klaus knows this and many know it, but just to make sure that everyone knows, you people don't have to just comment. Being in comment mode means you can edit the document as much as you want. It will be in what's called suggest mode. And so they'll be marked as changes that everyone can see. And until, you know, Jordan as the rapporteur on this, or perhaps Klaus as the primary author on this, or me as a backup helper, accept them, they remain visible as suggested changes. So I would really suggest that people not just comment, as pretty much I did, I was trying to understand, but also in places where you think the wording needs to be changed, please do so. And as I say, those are then the things that in testing those changes, you know, if we can have conversations both online, in the comments of the document, or however else.
Thank you, Avery. That's a really good point. And yeah, it's not to try and own the writing. That mode is available to everyone who clicks on that, either anonymously or logged into Google. And so if the actions could be for people to add any comments or drafting changes by the close of play next Wednesday, if it's sort of Wednesday 23:59 UTC, and we ask the list to do that. Klaus, are you happy to spend a little bit of time after that? And I'm happy to spend some time after that. Maybe Avery, just knocking and check the second draft for review by the call in 2 weeks. Does that make sense? Klaus, your hand is up.
It's, Jordan, thank you. First of all, yes, Afri, I think you're absolutely right. And I just want to emphasize that the draft, what you're seeing, is a draft of a draft of a draft. There's nothing written in stone. So it was just really to start off. Just as a tip, if you are deterred by the length of the document, basically a lot of it is just basically quoting the available source documents. So if you want to go to the meat, go to the comments and go to the recommendations. And Jordan, the problem is I would really, really love to help with the editing, but I'm actually next week at the United Nations in New York at very intensive meetings from Monday up till Friday. I will try to do my best, but I wouldn't like to commit to be the lead editor. So, Jordan, if you have a little bit of time from Wednesday, if you start us up, and I promise I have to have a look in and try to support, but I can't commit to it for the reason I just gave.
Okay. Thanks, Glass. That's perfectly reasonable. Our day-to-day lives do interrupt and get involved with this work. So I'm happy to have a first go at it. And then if you were to have a go either over the weekend or on Monday, I think that still gives us time before our next call. So if anyone else has any other actions to follow up or any comments or thoughts, you know what to do. Fire them on the email list or feel free to add them into the doc as track changes or as comments. And with that, we will just close this off as an agenda item. We will go on to item 4, which is the schedule check. And in terms of that schedule check, we've talked about this document A progress, and we've talked about the responses to questions we got from the staff and the need to make sure we answer those. Avery, you're working on document B, which is another key part of our work here. Would you like to offer some thoughts about where that one's up to?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That one is yet to be really started. This is Avery speaking. That document has yet to be put together. Basically, all I've so far is create a stub drive document. So what is that once I'm here, I'll send the URL out to the list again. I'll be working on it next week. So I'm hoping to get it, and I'm hoping there are people can help me with it, digging through the answers that we've got, seeing what other documents refer to that are obtainable or indicating where, you know, we don't know the answer yet, and so on. So I'll be working on that next week. I can't wait it until Monday because I have something else I have to deliver by Monday. But, so hopefully if anybody else has time, I think people that indicated they might like to help if they have time. So I'm hoping next week, you've got time to sort of jump into that argument, into that document, reach out to me. We can talk about it and so on. But my goal is to have at least something by, the end of next week or the beginning or at least, in the next week.
Okay. So do you think that goal,
if I can keep you on the schedule,
are you feeling like that goal is achievable?
Thing. So basically, it's not impossible. I really, I'll have a better idea but what could I say? I'm going to try to achieve it. I certainly, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, no, there's no chance. Otherwise, I would say so. I just haven't had a chance to work on it yet, but will in the next week. So one of the things, leaving it on the schedule, that way, you know, see how far we get with closing up document A at the next meeting, see how far we get into document B. There'll definitely be something there to discuss. And then at that point, we can do a double check and whether the other meetings, whether we have enough time, because we need to send documents to the plenary in mid-February for our deadline. So we can, you know, gauge whether we need an extra meet or a longer meeting sometime down the road to jump on things, depending on how it goes. One of the things, though, that I wanted to check is that, in general, we want to stick to the schedule that we came up with last time, which indeed does have our draft ready to be discussed. I have to, well, you and I, Jordan, have to sort of update our dashboard entry, with, you know, the form that they've imposed on the group to try and get us all to look alike. So, and that needs to be done by this Friday. So that's why I wanted to bring up the schedule and just make sure that, despite the discomfort of needing to get things done in the next couple weeks, whether anybody felt any alarms or anything, or whether I should just proceed with this schedule that we put together at our last meeting. Thanks.
Personally, I don't see any issues with the schedule. Does anyone else on the call see any? It's tight, but we should aim to do it. Basically, that's how I see it. And there are no other hands up on that one. So I think we'll look forward to seeing that, Avery, and I'll reiterate your call for volunteers who would like to help on that. Avery's pasted the current schedule stuff into the chat.
I did, but it lost its formatting. It lost its formatting, so it's hard to see, but yeah.
It well and truly did, but that's okay. Those key dates are there. 19 January, we'll try to finalize document A and work through the first draft of document B. And then document in the 2nd of February, we'll retest document B. And Aubrey's posted the link in the chat to the work plan. I'll just ask if there's any other business for people to raise. Doesn't have to be. Klaus, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, sorry, Jordan, that I'm trying to throw in a last-minute spanner into the works of Document A. I'm just looking at the people who are on the call and actually thinking about the significance of Document A and B. Is there any chance that we get already other people to comment on this and to get a broader view? Because I feel very uncomfortable that we are just a few people working on a very, very important topic, and it would be better to really have a broader engagement in this one. I know you tried everything to get people into the group, but it just makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe it's good enough to just register that for myself, and that's all. Thank you.
Well, Klaus, I agree with you, and I think that the way that we work around that is that we're a very small group of people, and we're preparing a draft that will be discussed in a plenary working group with 50, 60, 70 people participating. And that's where we'll probably get feedback, and we'll probably have to make changes. In terms of the input that we'll get, I don't think we'll be able to work through a larger group of people at this point prior to that. But Avery might have a different view, and her hand is up. So while I worry about it as well, I think that that's the process that we've been set to.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, this is a problem. Yeah, this is Aubrey speaking. This is a problem that every one of these groups has had. One thing I've noticed is when you send it up to the plenary is sometimes when people start arguing about details because they finally read it. I just looked. We have 24 active, so-called active participants. I see that we really only have 6 or 7, you know, on the call, if that many. But we have 24 active participants, 18 observers. So I think one thing that, you know, you and I, Jordan, Ken, should do over the next week is just say, hey, folks, there's a document here, A, you know, it really needs some eyes. You know, 24 of you have signed up as active participants, you know, so do something. And then do the same thing for B. I don't worry about getting more people to write. If you know, I'll certainly put out a call for volunteers, but I expect that if I get any help from anyone, it'll be from the handful of people that have attended the meetings. But so I think, you know, we're okay. I'm not worried, because we will get comments before long. Whether we get a lot of comments, I don't know, and it's hopeful. But I'm not terribly worried. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. Cheryl, your hand is up. Your hand is up, but we are not hearing you, just so you know.
No, I can't hear Cheryl either.
Is that any better? I finally managed to...
Oh, now I hear you.
Yay! Okay, let me start that again. Talking to my muted microphone. That's because I'm trying to do it through the AC, and I usually leave that microphone muted at all times. Okay, Cheryl, for the record, I agree with everything you've said about trying to get more people involved, and the plenary is often when it tends to resuscitate. In fact, in some cases, we hear as much from the people who've commented in the sub-teams in the plenary space as we do in the sub-team work, but that's just some double-dipping in my view. One thing that may be worthwhile, and it is only a maybe, but I'm just putting it out there, I know particularly when we're horrendously busy, certainly, the way I manage my emails and lists, I am much more likely to pay attention to a link that is sent specifically to me as my address, like so a personal link to the Google Doc, than I am to a message that goes to the list. It's just easier to ignore a piece of list for another day and another day and another day. So maybe try that. I don't know whether it'll work, but you can try.
So, Cheryl, just so I can clearly understand what you're suggesting, is it to say that we get the email addresses of the participants and observers who volunteered and just send them a direct email rather than using the email list? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, that's correct. So
okay.
a personal link as opposed to anyone with this anyone with this link can edit. You know what I mean? No, it might help, I don't know.
Oh, this is Aubrey asking. I don't. So you're actually saying B1 should be a Google Drive enabled with their own address?
As far as I know.
Because I'm not in favor of that.
I don't believe you have to have a Google address or a Google Drive to do that. I do, so that doesn't include me. But as far as I know, you should be able to send a link specifically to the actual individual email addresses, not just to the list address.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it'll make a difference, but okay. Just so you weren't as suggesting that everybody be made an individually named editor. Thanks.
Yeah, let's think about that. I think I can think of a way to do it that doesn't involve making everyone a sort of master editor of the doc. Is there any other business for this call? So I think it's been quite a constructive discussion, and I'm happy to leave it there until our next discussion.
Nothing from me. Thanks to everybody.
Yeah, let's leave it with thanks. Thank you all for your participation on this call at this very early point in 2017. And our next call is in about 2 weeks. Please add your comments to the docs, and look forward to speaking with you next time. Thank you all for coming. Have a good evening, or morning, or day.
Thank you. Or night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.